You guys, welcome tonight. Man, I had a message in my heart, and I was thinking, you know what? I started writing down some notes about it, and then when I open up the Bible app, who has the Bible app over here? Anybody? Yeah? I open up the Bible app, and they have the scripture of the day, and the scripture of the day had right to do with the topic that I felt like God put on my heart. And so I was thinking, praise you, Lord. We are in tune, and God wants to minister something to the body tonight. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So, Father God, we invite you, hallelujah, have your way. Thank you for the way you love us. Thank you for sending your Son to pay the price for us, to purchase our redemption with his own blood, and for his mighty power to save and rising from the grave. Thank you, Father, for pouring out your Spirit upon us. Hallelujah. You are not a God who withholds, Lord, but you give graciously to your people. God, we invite your presence here tonight. We ask, Lord, speak to us, teach us, Lord, so we could live in your higher way of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The message tonight is, I will give you rest. Did you know that was going to be my message? Did you not know that? I was like, Pastor Nancy is praying out my scripture. Pastor Tom, I let him know ahead of time, but praise God. That is the message tonight. I will give you rest. You know, life can be very stressful. And very heavy. It could feel overwhelming at times. And that's even when you're doing things right. You know, we're not called just to sit on the sidelines. We're called to be very active in this life, right? We're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to lay hold of eternal life. We're to run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. We're to do the good things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. We're to provide for our families, leave an inheritance for our children's children. There's a lot that God has called us to do. Yeah. And we're to do that in the midst of a sin-cursed earth with people who don't like you because you're a Christian. Sometimes it can be a little difficult to be a Christian in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And there could be pressure weighing upon you. I mean, just the cost of living over here, you could feel a lot of pressure on you. And thinking about, what about maybe retirement's coming up? Am I ready for it? Or you're in retirement already. You're thinking, how am I going to get to the next day? Or you're thinking, what about my kids? Are my kids going to make the right decision? Are they going to turn to God? Are they going to figure things out? They're struggling right now. There's so much pressure. Yes. And so much weight that we carry in this life. And Jesus, when he was walking the earth, you'll see in Matthew chapter 11 that he's speaking to the people. He's confronting the Pharisees. And he's saying, you know, you guys, if the nations would have seen the miracles that you see today, they would have repented. Sodom and Gomorrah, if they would have seen the miracles that you see today, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. He goes, you're seeing what I'm doing, and still you won't turn to me. But then he turns to the people that maybe they're not educated and they're not taught. And he begins to praise God. And he goes, I thank you, Father, that you have revealed these truths of your kingdom to the unlearned and the untaught. Thank you, God. That was your good pleasure. And Jesus, looking out at the people, seeing heavy burdens have been laid upon them, seeing them struggling, he says this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen. Keep going. 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Go ahead. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Jesus is speaking to the people and he is saying, look it, I do not want you to be overwhelmed by life. If you are weighed down, if you're pressured, if you're feeling the weight of the world upon you, check out what it says in the Message. Can you pull it up in the Message translation? Yes. I love this in the Message. Yes. It just makes it so clear. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Keep going. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that part right there. Yes. The unforced rhythms of grace. You know, you could get in a rhythm of walking in the grace of God. You could get in a rhythm of living this life right in step with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen. Amen. That is how God wants us to live. You know, in John 10:10, Jesus said, it's the enemy who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I've come so that you can have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. It is not abundance of life when you are weighed down and heavy burden, when you feel like you have no rest, when you feel like you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning and you feel like you haven't even rested all night. You wake up and you feel just as exhausted as when you went to bed. God does not want us living like that. The enemy wants to steal your rest, crush your hopes. He wants to hold you down. But that is not the lifestyle that God has called us to. Amen? God has promised rest for his children. Actually, in Hebrews chapter 4, the whole chapter is dealing with the promise of rest for the children of God. The whole chapter is going into it. And it's saying that there was a group of Israelites who did not enter into the promised land. They did not enter in because of their unbelief. And God is saying, I had this place of rest for them, but they did not trust me enough to step into it. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, there is still a promise of rest for you. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, it actually says that there is a special rest waiting for the people of God. Now, what kind of rest is this? Is this a rest where you're going to go lay on the beach and you're going to chillax and not do anything for the rest of your life? Is that the kind of rest that it's talking about? You know, actually, that kind of rest wouldn't even be restful. I mean, it might be fun for a week or two, but after a while, when you don't have purpose in your life, it just eats at you. Yes. And when your life is centered around yourself, you are miserable. So that is not the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about. You know, actually, to do the work of God that he's called us to do, Jesus said this about it. He said, my food is to do the will of my Father. Yep. He's like, that is what satisfies me. That's what fills me up. That is my sustenance, to do the will of the Father God. And so it's not the kind of rest where you're going to be laying on a beach. And don't say amen, because God has a very exciting life for you. So what is this rest that God has called us to? What does it look like? Well, it looks more like a deep rest of the soul. You see, Jesus said, and you will find rest for your souls, right? He's talking about a deep rest that happens in here. No matter what's going on around you, no matter what's going on in your life, God is saying you could experience a rest in your soul and in your spirit that is not affected by world circumstances. It's not affected by things going on around you. This deep rest for your soul, it comes from a confident reliance on God to bring about his goodwill in your life as you live in obedience to him. And this produces in you a supernatural peace and joy that goes beyond the circumstances. When you're living a life of surrender to God, you see, Jesus was saying, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, you can't find real rest apart from him. True rest is only found in the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, come to me. And what is he saying when he's saying, come to me? He's saying, I want you to follow me. I want you to trust in me. Beyond your own reasoning, beyond the advice that you've gotten from society or your family, he goes, I want you to trust in me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me. And he goes, I will direct your path.
Amen.
It's a supernatural peace and joy that you can have that is not based on circumstances.
Amen.
It's not based on everything going your way. Where you could be like Jesus and you have peace in the storm and you're asleep on the pillow in the boat while everybody else is freaking out. And then when they woke him up, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? I mean, the storm was probably pretty bad. These were fishermen after all, and they're thinking they're going to die. And then Jesus gets up and he releases what is in him. Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. Amen. With the storms that are going on inside of you, with the weight of the world that you feel resting on your shoulders, if you will come to Him, if you will trust in Him and say, God, I've been doing it my own way. I've been trying to figure things out, but Lord, I lay it all at your feet. I'm going to cast my cares upon you because I know you care for me. When you come to that place and you say, God, I want your rest. I want your peace. I want to live in your way. When you surrender your will to His will, a supernatural peace and rest will come on you. This is a deep-rooted faith that is found in a place of obedience. You know, James says, faith without works is what? Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. When we know the truth, but we don't walk in it, we're in disobedience. And when you're in a place of disobedience, you begin to lose confidence. And when you lose confidence in life, you lose rest. When you know the steps that you're supposed to take, but you don't take them, or you know some things you're supposed to let go of, but you continue to hold on to it, you're in a place of compromise. And that place of compromise will rob you of peace and rest. But when you say, no, I don't want that anymore, I choose to trust God, I'm going to lay down my own will, and I'm going to lay hold of His will, I'm going to let go of the things. When He says let go, I'm going to let go. When He says to do something, I'm going to do it. When you do that, the Bible calls that the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Amen. When you're living in this place of trusting in Him beyond your own ability, you're going into a place of obedience. And in that place of obedience, there is rest in your heart and in your soul. You see, sometimes we want the blessings of God, but we don't want to walk in obedience to God. So here we are resisting Him and wanting to receive from Him. And it doesn't work like that. You're cutting yourself off from a flow of grace. The Bible says that there is an abundant provision of grace for us. It's more than enough. This empowerment to live your life, to go beyond the limits. But you cut yourself off from receiving that grace when you only acknowledge God when you need something, and the rest of the week, you're just living how you want to live and doing things the way you want to do it. And you will not be satisfied in that place. But when you come to that place of just trusting and that place of obedience, you begin to experience rest in your soul. And what does it look like? In Psalms chapter 38, verse 8, you have it up there? Yeah. He says, the Lord will work out His plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon the work of your hands. You see, when you see it's not up to me to figure out everything for my life. You know, that's a lot of pressure. Has anybody ever felt like that? When you're trying to figure out the future, you're trying to figure out everything you have to do to go to where you think you're supposed to go. But it is such a relief when you realize that the Lord is working out His plan for your life. When you realize the weight is not all on you. You know, in Philippians chapter 1, it says this. It says that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Right? Later on, it goes on to say that He works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. You know what all that is saying? It's saying it's not up to you to perfect you. He's saying you need to get rid of that weight right now. You need to realize that when you come to God, the way you're transformed is when you're getting in His presence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, we all beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. Amen. It's actually in getting in His presence, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you get into His presence and you just behold Him, yes. You behold Him in His written word. You behold Him in worship and adoration. And as you do that, the Bible says you are transformed into that same image. Into what image? His image. Amen. You are transformed to be like Him by His Spirit. It's not through your striving and through your efforts. It's through coming in and yielding. There's a divine cooperation that God has called us to. Where we're not living according to our own ability. Where we're living just in step with Him. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. Yes. And we can live in this close, intimate relationship with God. Where we're walking in step with Him. We're doing what He's called us to do. Not about us trying to figure out everything. We're just praying and obeying. Praying and obeying. Amen. Proverbs 15:15 says this. It says, all of the days of the oppressed are wretched. We don't want that. Okay. But it says, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. What? A cheerful heart has a continual feast. You see, when you're living close to God and you're doing life with Him, when you wake up in the morning and you're saying, I love you, O Lord, my strength. When you're going to bed at night, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, God, for what you've done today. You begin to have a cheerful heart, this heart that is full of gratitude. And that cheerful heart has a continual feast. That means there is joy that's accompanying your steps, no matter what's going on. The first part says the days of the oppressed, but thank God it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. And then in Psalms 36, verses 7 through 9, it says this. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Listen, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. And in your light, we see light. Amen. Amen. There is a place of fulfillment when you turn to God. It is a place of comfort. It is a place of joy and peace when you cast your cares on Him. When you come to Jesus with everything that's weighing on you. I share this with the youth often. I've shared it in here a few times. God will not force Himself on anybody. But He will come where He's invited. That's why all who call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. And God says, call to Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not yet know. But He will not force Himself on you. But when you take your cares and you take your worries, you take all the anxieties and all the pressures and you put it before Him and you say, God, I need your help. Amen. When you say, Lord, I give this to you. I'm taking all these cares and giving it to the one who cares for me. Then you invite His help and He will help you. And you invite His presence and He will comfort you. Amen. He will give you peace no matter what the situation is. But what's it like when we don't do that? What's it like when we hold back and we're trying to do everything in our own strength? The Bible says the arm of the flesh. Yeah. What is it like when we're doing that? Then we begin to experience discouragement. Discouragement is when you feel like your efforts don't matter, so why even try? You begin to experience disappointment when all your expectations are unfulfilled. In this place of living where basically you're the God of your own life and if something's going to be done, you're going to do it yourself in your own strength, you begin to experience guilt, shame, and condemnation. And the enemy, he tempts you into it and then he rubs your face in it. In this place of trying to live life on your own, you experience being overwhelmed and held down by the things that are happening around you, by the family situations, what's going on in school, what's going on at work. It can feel overwhelming. Anxiety and worry flood your mind and your soul. You feel like you're running on empty and you don't have enough to give to anyone else, let alone to sustain yourself. Strife, contention, and anger could fill your house, could be in your marriage, could be between you and your children, could happen on the job, maybe right here in church. Uh-oh. Not in this church. Because you're not experiencing rest. You're not encountering His glorious grace and a peace that passes understanding and a joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. You could come to a place of hopelessness where it looks like there's no way out and everything is against you. How am I doing on time? I'm doing okay. I want to share with you guys something that I had written. And then I want to share with you guys a cool testimony. Did you guys like the story of Big Bubba last time? Was that pretty cool? All right. Well, we got another story for you today. I had written this poem before calamity struck my life, and I had no idea how much it would help me through that time. But it's called When the Day of Trial Comes. The pressures of life pressing on my soul, anger and strife, I could lose all control. Sorrows drown my heart, its anchors pull me down. I feel no motivation, I feel low to the ground. The whole world against me, hell unleashed upon me, sickness and disease pursue me, poverty tries to undo me. In the dark I can't see, I try my best but can't breathe. Stuck in the depth of the sea, is there no hope for me? But I'm a Christian, where is the victory? I've been looking outward with that view I'll never win. I close my eyes, fall to my knees. It's time to look within. You are not God far away. No, Lord, you are closer than my skin. You are deeper than my soul, in my spirit that's been born again. I look upon you, not the storm. My eyes are on you, not the wind. My gaze is towards you, not my sorrow, my anger, or my sin. By your blood I am washed. By your work I am free. By your spirit I'm empowered to have the victory. So I stand on the truth. The promises in Christ are amen. The facts will change in my favor. On the promises of God, I will stand. Now, with new hope in his name, I will never be put to shame. I am for the glory of his fame, and with boldness I proclaim, I am healed, I am set free, I am redeemed, blessings pursue me. I am full of joy, and great is my peace. God's favor rests upon me, and songs of praise I release. I roar his triumph, the resurrection from the grave. He has conquered death, my God is mighty to save. God the Almighty inside me, for freedom he freed me, his spirit revived me. There is victory. Victory for me, for the victor is in me. Standing steadfast, I will see the provider providing, and all my enemies hiding, for they knew they were lying, and they failed in their trying. Now this lion is roaring, great exploits I'm performing, taking up sword and shield, this mighty warrior is warring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Getting your eyes off of yourself and off of the situation to focus on the one who has overcome, to focus on the King of Glory, to focus on the God who measures the universe in the span of his hand. He is mighty to save, and he says he will be the strength of your life. Hallelujah. If you will trust in him and you will hope in him. I want to share with you a testimony from my parents, actually. I love this testimony. I hope I do it justice. If you don't know, my parents are Stephen and Lynn Pape, and there are five of us kids that have come from them. My mom used to get the prize in church for being the youngest mom at 24, and also being the mom with the most kids, all five of us. So here they are, five kids, a household of seven, living in Fremont, California. And things are going okay. We have a beautiful house over in Fremont. It's a tri-level house. Had a big pool, a good-sized backyard, hot tub back there, barbecue pit built in. We would have parties over our house often. And then little did we know, calamity was going to strike, and it was going to hit so hard. I was young. I didn't know what was going on. This was probably, I don't know, 32 years ago. I was probably about 6 or 7 years old. And my dad was working his job, and he had gotten involved. He had seen this investment with the business, and this thing was being advertised on TV and everything. And so he goes, and he puts a good chunk of money into this investment that ended up being a fraud. They took it all, and they ran with it. And my parents got stuck holding the bag. At the same time that's happening, his job goes on strike, and they went on strike for, let me see, how long was this? They went on strike for 25 weeks. His job goes on strike. At the same time that is happening, the loan that they had on their house, forgot what kind of a loan it was, but it had graduated payments, and they kept going, they kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, the payments. And they had planned everything out. They were doing their due diligence as far as if everything was going to go the way it was supposed to go, they were going to be able to refinance and everything. But everything happened all at once. Because his job was on strike, they couldn't refinance the home. The price, the payment, mortgage payment, is getting bigger and bigger every month. And he has no work coming in. They begin to use credit cards. Pretty soon, they are in way over their head. And they have to file for bankruptcy. And they try to hold on to the house, but they can't. And they go through bankruptcy and foreclosure. and lose everything. And they're told, hey, you got to get out. You're being evicted. Get out of here. You can't stay anymore. So they go through bankruptcy and foreclosure. And imagine the pressure on my dad to provide for his wife and five kids. His job is on strike. What am I going to do? Finally, his job gets off strike. He's able to go back there and start working again. And he's thinking, how can I get ahead? What do I need to do? And he starts thinking, maybe I could get another job. And he was figuring it out. He said, if I work 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, I still could not dig myself out of this hole. I still will not be able to get ahead, and I will not be able to buy another home. And so he's feeling overwhelmed. And one day, on his way back from work, he just begins to cry out to God. Just begins to pray, cry out to God, feeling overwhelmed. There's nothing he can do to get himself out of his situation. And he's crying out to the Lord, God, help! Lord, see me in my time of need. I can't get myself out of this mess. Jesus, my Savior, bring relief, bring help, make a way where there is no way. And in the midst of crying out to God, he experiences a supernatural peace. And a faith comes inside of him. And he has a sense, whoa, things are going to be better going forward than they had been up until now. Things are going to be better than they ever were. And he has a supernatural peace in his heart. And so he goes and he talks to my mom. And he shares with her, he goes, we're in a better position now than we were before. And she's saying, what are you talking about? He's like, I know it in here. I have it in my heart. It's right here. He encountered God's rest. Amen. Come to me and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Amen. He experienced rest in here. Nothing had changed on the outside yet. They still got to go. They got to find a place to live. And my mom's like, what are we going to do? And my dad goes, we just need to praise. And she goes, I don't feel like praising. And he goes, that's why it's called a sacrifice of praise. And so she goes, okay. And so they start to praise God, not really feeling it. After a few minutes of praising, they feel like, whoa, my mom gets it. Joy and peace drops in her heart. She gets it right in here. Nothing's changed on the outside, but on the inside, they have experienced rest, peace, and joy, and comfort. And so they're looking for, what do we need to do? They could have just wrote it out while their house was going through foreclosure. They could have just stayed there for as long until they got officially kicked out and not paid anything and tried to save up money in that time. But they felt convicted in their heart, that's not the right thing to do. We just need to go take the step. And if they would have, they would have missed out on what comes next. So they're going and they're looking, and they're looking for a rental house. And they end up finding a house in Union City. And after about 6 months, they're just on a month-to-month rental. Nobody would allow them to rent for a year because their credit was completely shot. I mean, no credit at all. Just horrible, horrible credit. Bankruptcy and foreclosure now on their record. And people are thinking, I don't want to keep you in my house for a year. You might destroy my place. And so everybody is just, it's just got to be a month-to-month. So they found a place in Union City. And, you know, when you have a house with five kids, you end up having, you know, a bit of furniture and stuff. So we go to this house in Union City, and after being there, moving in and being there for 6 months, they give a 30-day notice. You need to leave. We're selling the house. And so here they are, but they've had this place of peace on the inside that they've been sticking with. So they're like, okay, well, let's go. We're going to start looking around. They start going, and I remember going and looking at all these different houses. We're going all the way up to Sonora and checking out all these different places. And they're just praying the whole way, Lord, is this where you want us to go? And they would get, everything would be open for this one spot, and the Lord would say no, so they would turn, they wouldn't take it. They go to another spot, they're like, I think this is the one, and then the door would shut, and they couldn't get it. And so they're looking around, and they could be discouraged, but they're keeping their hope and their trust in God. Lord, you gave us peace. You gave us rest. And so they're praying every step of the way. And then as they're looking, my mom's looking through the paper, and she's getting frustrated. And my dad goes, just go ahead and read some listings off to me. And she reads off this 2,800 square foot house in Castro Valley. And it's got four bedrooms. It's a custom home up a private lane with a view. And my dad goes, That's the one. And my mom's like, are you kidding me? So like we go up and we check out the house, and it's a beautiful home. The people who live there, they're actually missionaries. And so they're going to be going on the mission field to try it out for a little while, and they're going to rent out the house where they're gone. And so here we are, a family of seven, and they have this beautiful custom home up a lane in Castro Valley. And there's just, they're a three-person family, I think. And we go in there, and my mom is thinking, no way are they going to rent this house to us. And my dad just has this peace. He goes, it's going to work out. So we're over there in Union City, and then my mom gets an alert in her spirit. She goes, I feel like they're going to come. We need to get the house in order. We got to clean up. Like, we got to clean everything and just get the toothbrush out, scrub the tiles, get everything really clean. And so we start cleaning the house, and my dad gets up and he does the yard work. And then no sooner did we finish cleaning the house that the guy's name was Mr. Reese. Mr. Reese pulls up to the house as soon as we're putting the stuff away. And he comes in because he wants to see who's this family that wants to rent my house with their five smelly kids. So he comes over and they say hello. And he comes over just because he wanted to see the way we took care of the place where we were living. And he walked in and it smelled like Pine Sol, maybe. I don't know. My mom could correct me. But it smelled really clean, smelled nice. And he goes in. He sees the yard's done. The house is all clean. Thank God he didn't see it before that. No. But he came and he wanted to see. And then he said, you know what? All right. I'm going to allow you to rent my house. And so we're like, praise God. And so now we got to move. We had a lot of our stuff in storage. My dad gets the biggest U-Haul you can get and fills it up and unloads it three times going up to our house. And it's up a private lane. It's not easy to get up there. I remember the thing scraping and all. And my dad goes through three different groups of people helping him. He worked for about 24 hours straight getting everything in the house because we had some stuff. And I'm sure my dad was really thankful for my mom at that moment. So we get loaded up and we get into the house. And then after a little while, hey, here's the man right now. That's my dad right there. There he is. And so I was just talking about how you stayed up for about 24 hours loading everything into the house in Castro Valley. 25 hours. 25 hours. I stand corrected. He would know. Actually, at that time, they said, where's the dolly? We need a dolly. And they're looking for the dolly. And I was so young, I thought a dolly was a giant doll that helped you carry stuff around. And then when I saw what it was, I was really disappointed. So anyway, we get moved into the house, and then come to find out the owners of the house want to sell their house. Oh my goodness. I don't even know how long we were there. It's probably a matter of months. We're there and they wanted to try out the mission field. And while they're out there, they're in India and they feel like God is calling them to the mission field and they're supposed to sell their house. So he's going to sell his house, and it is not working out. He's having a hard time selling it. And then the Lord speaks to his heart. And God says, the people who are to buy the house are the ones who are living in it right now. And God says, make it work. Make it work. The Reeses end up selling my parents the house for hundreds of thousands of dollars less than the price it was. And hundreds of thousands of dollars was a lot back then. This was like 32 years ago. So it took hundreds of thousands of dollars off the price, and they carried the loan themselves because my parents had no credit to be able to get a loan from the bank. And let me see, am I missing something right there? They carried the loan themselves, and let me see. I don't want to miss some of this stuff. It's pretty awesome. Okay, they carry the loan. Oh, and no money down. No money down. So here they are. They're like, hey, the Lord told me, you're to sell the house to you guys. How can we do it? Don't worry. No money down. We will carry the loan and we're going to sell it to you for hundreds of thousands of dollars less. Praise God. That is God making a way where there seems to be no way. When you say, Lord, I don't have credit. I have no money for a down payment. I have nothing. How am I going to get ahead? And God is saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. It's not about what you can do yourself or what you can accomplish in your own ability. God does not want us to live like that. He actually wants to co-labor with us in this life. And he wants us to trust him. My parents got to do that. And my dad goes, and after they make this deal, he sits down at the house and the Lord speaks to his heart. And the Lord says this, "Son, I have given you this house. Son, I have given you this house. Not because of your efforts, not because of the work that you put in, not because you did something to earn it. You are my son. You called to me, and I answered you." He is an ever-present help in the time of need. He is there for you in the struggle. He is there for you in the hardship. When there looks like there's no way out, when the walls reach to the sky and you can't climb out of the mess that you're in, he makes a way where there seems to be no way. He is faithful and true. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. If you will put your hope and your trust and your confidence in him, you will never be put to shame. He will lift you up and he will strengthen you in life and he will make a way where there seems to be no way. His heart is towards you. His love is for you. He is not withholding, but he has given you all that he is. But what does he require of us? In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, labor to enter into this rest. What is this labor? Well, you saw this labor in my parents' story when my dad began to cry out. That was a labor right there. And then he got peace. You saw this labor when the Lord spoke to my mom and said, "Hey, you need to get your house in order. You got to clean this thing up." There was effort that went in, right? There was the labor when my dad said, "All we got to do is praise." "But I don't feel like praising." "But all you got to do is praise. Bring that sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, to a God who is worthy." You see, there's a battle in your mind and in your soul where the enemy's coming with lies, when he's coming to pull you down. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy everything that you hope and love. But if you will labor to get into this place of rest where you say, "You know what? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." When you tell your soul, "You will bless the Lord. I will yet praise him, my King and my God. My hope is in him, and I will not be put to shame." When you do that, no matter your situation, you will experience a supernatural rest and peace in here. And then you will begin to see things unfold out here. But you already have it. You already have it. And through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. There was still some labor, 25 hours of labor, right? There was still some work, and we are called to do good works. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. But these good works produce fruit that the world can see. Jesus said, "It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." You see, as you live out what God calls you to do and you labor in the things that he's called you to, then you experience what Jesus did, where he said, "My food is to do the will of my Father." Yes. You see, we are called to work, but it's a drudgery when you feel like the work is pointless. But when you realize I'm doing what God has called me to do, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I have peace in my heart. I'm walking in the will of God. I've acknowledged him in all my ways and he is directing my path. Then you begin to say, "You know what? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." That sounds like rest. "He leads me beside the still waters." That sounds like peace. "He restores my soul." You will find rest for your souls. You will find restoration for your soul when you come to the good shepherd and you lay your burdens down. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Father God, you see your people tonight. Lord, you see the burdens and you see the yokes. Lord, you see the weights and you see the struggles that they are dealing with. Father God, I pray that by your Spirit, you would move on them even now. Move on us, God, and let us experience your rest and your peace in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord God, we say that we trust in you. We put our hope and confidence in you, that you are the God who makes a way where there seems to be no way. You open doors that no man can shut, faithful God. So tonight we say we put our hope in you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We call upon you and we say, Lord, come into our situations. Come into our lives. Give us rest in our souls in Jesus' name. And help us, Lord, to be refreshed in your presence, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.